of your daughter, Gloria. We know that by reason of her faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that she's not in this urn, Father, that the moment she closed her eyes here, she opened them in heaven to be welcomed by her Savior, who she loved. Father, it is my prayer today that your Holy Spirit be with us, that you would bring comfort where comfort is necessary, that you would bring remembrance to us of what a great lady she was, and Father, that we can give thanks for a life well lived. And so, Father, we ask that you bless this service, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to bring up some scriptures for you. And I know that these were some of Gloria's favorite. We don't have time to list all of them. But let me tell you something about Gloria. This is not working for me. Caleb, I can't switch the slide. Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. This is from the Gospel of John. This was probably Gloria's life verse. And you know what I mean by that. This is what she hid in her heart. You know, if you asked her about John 3:16 and 3:17, she'd be glad to tell you. And in case you didn't want to know, she's telling you anyhow. Okay? One thing that I appreciated about Gloria is that she always used the opportunities that she had to share her love for Jesus Christ with others. Could be on a grocery line. It could be in a doctor's office. It could be in the hospital. And she used these opportunities. So this is, I know her favorite verse. We talk about this a lot. Would you listen, please? Gospel of John, the Apostle John, these are Jesus' words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, you should underline that, whoever believes, trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then the next verse with that, Caleb, I'm going to need your help because it's nowhere. The next verse, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's another verse, I didn't include it in here, that I know Gloria loved. And it was the verse that Jesus says in the Gospels, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. And then this one was especially a favorite. And here's why. Because when you and I are born, we inherit the sin nature, the rebellious nature against God that Adam caused in the garden when he fell. And this is the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote this. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That was me. Very rarely would anyone die for the righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's an incredible verse, isn't it? And if I can go to the Gospel of John. Jesus, again, saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? We're going to talk about these in a little more depth in a little bit. This is a precious promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then last, John the Apostle was given this great vision when he wrote Revelation. He was in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, worshiping on a Sunday. And he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And this was one of Gloria's favorite verses. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. A tremendous promise, things to look forward to. So we'll talk about those a little bit later. But what I'd like to do now is I want to open the mic up to the family first. If someone wants to share, come up, you can share a story, you can share some memories. And so, who would like to go first? Mark? Okay. Everybody in the world's taller than me, so we have to be nice.
First of all, thank you all for coming here on a dreary Saturday morning. A little joke in the family that February and March have not been kind to this family, but we're moving into a new area. So we spent a lot of time, unfortunately, on maybe how Mom passed, but I thought it might be fun to share some of the memories about how Mom lived. And so, as Pastor Lou said, my mom was an interesting person, creative, energetic, kind, always reaching out to people, but at times unusual. My mom, I say that in a good way, would be unusual. And maybe a couple of little memories that I have might make the point. So we grew up, and some of us were still here, and my cousin. We grew up outside of New York, a little town called Rutherford. I don't know if anybody's been there, Bergen County, about 8 miles outside of New York City. But at least in my own mind, things can be changed. It was a perfect little town. It had a park in the middle. It had a lot of nice churches. And it had sidewalks. And there's a reason why I mentioned the sidewalks. So Halloween was very big in Rutherford. I don't know, Joe, if you remember that. But because, you know, some of the things that now cause issues in the world didn't exist back then, we would really get excited for Halloween. And my mother was a sewer and would create all of the costumes. And, you know, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. And back then, Superman was a big superhero. We would come home, we'd watch the black and white, some of you would remember, of the original Superman. We call the original Superman. And it was a big event, and the costume of Superman was very important. So my mom decided that she was going to make my costume. Unfortunately, she forgot to put the S on my chest. And so all during the night, everybody said, why did you come out as Little Red Riding Hood? But my mom, even as a young child, I knew she had put so much love into it. I couldn't hurt her feelings by telling her everybody had made fun of me as I walked around. So that was one of the first memories that I had. Another memory of Halloween, again, Halloween, trick-or-treating. My mom believed that children shouldn't have candy. And anybody who spent time with my mom, and I know Ruth can say this, who was with her to the end, my mom loves sweet potatoes. Why, I don't know, but she loves sweet potatoes. So she decided that instead of giving candy out, she would make fresh sweet potatoes, put them in aluminum foil, and then give them to the children. Unfortunately, the children were throwing the sweet potatoes out, so my brother and I have to pick them up, make sure Mom didn't know. I didn't want to break her heart even then. So that was another memory that I've never forgotten. Another memory I've never forgotten is that I went to a small parochial school in Rutherford called St. Mary's. My cousin went to St. Mary's there for a while. And it was, you know, 1960s America. You had the church. You had a convent back then. There were lots of nuns. And my mother was young. Was a very young. She was 20 years difference. So she would hang out with the nuns and would try to get to know them, because she was always, no matter what religious group it was, she always wanted to thank that group. Sister Anne Marie was a beautiful nun. Even as a 9-year-old, I knew she was a beautiful nun. Much younger than all the other nuns. And my mother and she had formed some relationship that I was not aware of. Now, I did a lot of work. I was always a bit of a nerd. I would be helping the nuns all the time, so I had a special relationship with the nuns. So lo and behold, it's time to bring a Christmas gift to the convent. Beautifully wrapped, I bring the gift to the convent. They let me in. You know, convents could be kind of scary when you were a kid. You don't know what was going on in there. I left the package there, and I find out later that my mother had decided, based on conversations with Sister Anne Marie, that what she needed was not chocolate, it wasn't a cake, it was a bra and panty set, okay? That for some reason the religious order wouldn't get her. All right. So I said, Mom, how could I do this, right? 1 year later, she left the order, okay? Ran off with one of our gym coaches, okay? And I said, Mom, this is what happened, okay? So those are the kind of things my mother would do, all right? She also had this amazing convertible, this red convertible, old red convertible. I'm sure my Uncle Peter had gotten her some deal. And she'd ride around with the convertible. Again, younger woman would have one of those Jackie O things around, constantly picking up people. Rutherford was small. If somebody's walking, she'd pick somebody up. You may remember that, right? So that's some of the oldest memories of my mom. My mom then comes to Ocean County, gets married, long time to Anthony, and decides for whatever reason she's going to run for council. Okay. So she was always a little bit, she felt bad she hadn't had more formal education. But there was this seat that was open on the Lavalette Council. So she said, she came to me, I was her issue person, but she needed to run a campaign and she needed a few $100. I said, I think that's doable. I did what I always did. I went to my law partner, Gayton Alfano. He contributed 50. I put in 100. We came up with a war chest of $300 for her campaign. She won twice until Anthony said, that's it, no more, okay? It should be home, obsessed with the intrigue of local politics, right? Trying to keep a North Star at all times on what was fair and what was not. You remember, driving her nuts. My mother had leftover campaign funds, right? So she gave the money back, unheard of in today's politics, all right? So that's an area that I never forgot. One other memory is my mom decides that she comes down here, she's going to become a pharmacy tech at a local A&P. Well, my mom never did anything lightly. So she became pharmacy tech of the year. She became employee of the year. But there were in this area, a lot of retired Italians who spoke Sicilian dialect. My mother knew a Sicilian dialect from her grandparents. And so she would spend time, you don't see this in a normal pharmacy nowadays, trying to translate for the older members of Ocean County what this particular pill was like when translated from English to Italian. And so she became a groupie in this particular area. All right. A few weeks ago, not long ago, when I got to spend some time with my mom before she left, she asked me a question which, for a lot of reasons, she asked me many times. and she was dying, but still lucid. And she said, "Son, was I a good mother?" And I reassured her that she had been a good mother. And I said one thing to her, which anybody who knew my mother and is old enough to remember, my mother was Lucy. If you remember the Lucy, that was my mother. So I said, "Mom, you were Lucy." And I don't know, Ruth was nearby. But she was completely lucid, and she laughed with her eyes, put her hand up. And that was the reassurance to my mother that if she was Lucy, then that was a good mother, all right? So I share those with you. There's many other memories. And I have a number of people who have been here a long time who know my mother at different phases. You know, a life has many phases, right? But she always had a lot of energy. She always was a generous person. There are people in this room. If we had two apples, my mother gave the one apple away. I mean, her house was always open right to the end. In fact, when she got to the point where she was too sick to cook and people visited, she just kind of gave up, but knew that, you know, that had been an important thing. So again, I thank you all. I hope the ones here who got to know her enjoyed Lucy. I still watch the Lucy show, and my brother and I, I'm sure, think of many, many points. But she was a great mom, and we all love her. Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you all for coming. Of course, I am Andre, and I'm forever, even at age 65, I am my mother's baby son. Ruth would always tell me, "Your mom's worried about you. You're at the bus stop, your mom's worried about you." But at even age 65, that is, she would introduce me as my baby son. But it's kind of what Mark was saying. It's hard to have a starting point when you talk about my mother. I'm going to use a baseball reference. There's a movie called The Pride of the Yankees, in which Lou Gehrig, of course, succumbs to Lou Gehrig disease, which was ALS. And he basically makes an announcement saying that despite what everyone heard, that this was it for him. At a young age, he was retiring. And he says out loud, "I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. And that's how I consider myself, to have Gloria as my mom." But she basically had, like Mark was saying, my mother had a Lucille Ball way about her. I have a kind of a mental warehouse full of just like memories. Going to New York City as a child, we would wait, she'd say, when we drop Mark off at school, "We're gonna go to New York by bus, but don't say anything." So the second I came home, we went to New York City. We went to Chock Full of Nuts. She would volunteer at my school. She had, you know, if we were in a store, my mother would be, whether it was a relative, a stranger, "I think that person's coughing online. I have cough drops in my purse." A couple of humorous things is my mother had just a humorous side to her. She didn't realize sometimes it was being humorous, but she had a humorous side to her. I came home from school one day and I said, "Mom, everybody's making gingerbread cookies. Why can't we make them?" She goes, "Oh yeah, sure." I said, "Do you have any molds?" She goes, "No." I said, "Do you have any recipes?" She goes, "No." You know, the true Italian women, "I don't need any molds or recipes." So she goes, "Let's make them." So we make them in the oven. I think Mark was still at school. Actually, it was later. And all of a sudden, they were the most horrific gingerbread cookies you've ever seen. One had a broken arm, one had one eyeball. So she takes them out of the oven, she goes, "I think these look really good." I said, "They're one has only one leg, Mom." So I said, "We need to get a mold." She goes, "I don't need any molds." So she's like, "Okay." So we sat down, I remember she pulled them out of the oven, we let them cool, and we ate those gingerbread cookies. And to this day, even maybe a couple of weeks before when she passed, she said, remember those gingerbread cookies? I said, how could you forget? I said, of course, we didn't have any camera to take a picture. But one thing I truly remember was I went to school in Boston. Mark visited me. My cousin Joe visited me. And it was an old house. It was cold and drafty. And I called my mother up. There was no phones. There was no texting. There was no Instagram. On a phone courtesy of New England Bell. And I said, Mom, I forgot my winter jacket. I said, can you send it to me? So I hear, Anthony, you got to go to the post office right now. So my mother packs up this, again, in a Lucille Ball kind of way that would probably never get through U.S. postal inspectors. And immediately, it arrives 2 days later. And it's just freezing cold. It's Boston. It's about 25 degrees. And I take the coat off, and it's a goose down coat. And I immediately put it on, and the coat explodes. And it's like, I can't see. It's like dust flying everywhere. And I'm coughing and stuff. And my friends are saying, well, what just happened? I call up my mother. I said, why did you send the coat? So she goes, did you get my surprise? My mother decided, since it was so expensive to send a coat, she stuffed into the sleeves lemon Lipton iced tea packets. Then when I put my arms to it, it exploded into the air. So the coat smelled like lemon Lipton iced tea. And I was like, I said, no, that was a great idea, Mom. I said, but just that the iced tea was just like, you know, it's just there's so many memories and you think back and they just were just like a lot of fun and we would laugh years later. I mean, you know, my cousin Joe lost his mom at an early age. Pastor Lou lost his mom, although I never met your mom and dad, at a very young age, young in my way of thinking. Again, I got to have my mom for 65 years, 10 months. 3 days. When you lose your mom at any age, you kind of lose your sense of direction because your mom is your compass. There's no course correction. That's hit. I'm going to miss the 7 p.m. calls where we'd recap the day and she'd be lowering the TV. I said, Mom, I think you have to tell the truth, Mom. I said, okay. She goes, oh, let me lower it. And we'd go over and we'd watch it. We would just watch it for hours because there was nothing that really she liked on TV anymore at the end. She said, I like these game shows. So I said, well, one thing's clear. When you're looking at the panel, everyone's dead. I said, you're still here. So that was a great sign. They're all dead, okay? She goes, what happened to this one? So I'm looking it up. I said, he died, Mom, in like 1980. I said, okay. But I'm going to say that there's a friend of mine sent me this recently, who I've known for years. There's a poem called We Remember Them. And it's written by Sylvan Kamins and Rabbi Jack Reamer. And I'm just going to just read an excerpt because the poem would be too long to read. That as long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them. And that's how I want to remember my mother.
Anybody else in the family want to share a quick memory or anything? Yeah, come on, Joseph.
I think I'm about your height, Pastor Lou, so I can adjust the mic down a little bit. But Mark, I'm glad that you identified the Lucy, because I was trying to figure out, at times she would lapse into a voice that was across between Jerry Lewis and Tweety Bird. She was always going for the humor in situations. And growing up, being left with Aunt Gloria was always a really joyous and happy occasion and a fun time. And a couple of memories stick out. One was we were very fond of barbecuing in the summer, and we would have chicken on the bone. And Aunt Gloria grew up on a farm, so she never wanted to have anything to do with chickens after leaving the farm. So she wouldn't eat chicken. And we were eating, and I was really enjoying it, and I looked down at the chicken breast, and I saw a strange piece coming off the breast, and I said, what's that? And somebody in the family nonchalantly said, "Oh, that's the behind." And she caught the look on my face and cracked up laughing, because to her it was so funny. But that was her. She was attentive. She was in tune with the people around her, and especially the kids. One other situation. We were driving in a car on a trip, a road trip somewhere. It was really quiet. That got really quiet. So, and Gloria says to my father, "Did you know I can sing opera?" And of course, it sounded ridiculous, but he said, "No." And she said, "I can." And then she sang the word opera in a perfect pitched operatic voice. It was, you know, just cracked everybody up and broke the silence and just entered that, brought in that levity and that joy that she was, I think, was her trademark. And then, of course, later on in life, and I met Anthony, I got to know the spiritual side of her faith, her strong faith. And recently thought about the Chicarella family and Carolyn. All of them shared that same faith, which is, to me, remarkable. Every family member of the Chicarellos had that same strong faith. And I know Anthony did, of course. So she was just a blessing, will be missed, but I know where she is, and she knew where she was going. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Anybody else want to share? Yeah, come on up, Rick. And he came all the way from California to stay.
Well, it all starts way back in the 80s when Wendy. Well, she was always bound and determined to marry an Italian. Okay, that was like her early life goal. So, you know, and then I think that, thinking back, the first time that I met Mark's family, I mean, their family was a little different than ours. So, but I will never forget how when at Wendy's graduation from Villanova, meeting the family, and it was like we were like long lost, like they knew us, you know. It's like, oh, we, you know, and the embrace and the welcoming, you know, the families coming together, and I'll never, you know, forget that. And especially Nani, your grandmother, and she was wonderful, and and your grandfather Michael, and all that the family was just well. Gloria's, you know, was just ever so welcoming and loving and energetic and, you know, always inspiring from that standpoint. And I just, you know, I remember talking to her maybe a couple weeks before she passed away, and I will just always remember her being that vibrant, you know, from that standpoint. So she's an inspiration. And I was kind of going through a rough time myself after having a medical procedure, and so I felt, you know, uplifted from speaking with her. And I think also because of her faith and, you know, assurance, and that she always wanted to know, you know, how I was doing and was I okay and everything like that. So, and I just, you know, I remember also too that one of the, just as far as never feeling like being a stranger, because when I was before I got my life together, I would, you know, I graduated from college. I was working down in Williamsburg, Virginia, and I remember going up to visit Gloria and Anthony in Lavalette. And I drove up from Virginia, and I had my bike with me, and, you know, I stayed with them, and it was just, it was like, you didn't feel, you never felt like a stranger. You just always felt like part of the family. And you know, and I would go out and do my thing because they were both working at the time, and, you know, we'd get together, and Gloria always wanted to know what I was up to, but I didn't always want to let her know what I was up to, but anyway. So she was always curious from that standpoint. But and then I remember riding my bike over to Nani's place and, you know, in spending time with her. And, you know, it was a hot day. And she would say, well, just make yourself comfortable, strip down to your underwear, you know, that kind of thing. So, and she was a great cook. Everybody was a great cook. So, you know, I was exposed to that as well. So I always have those fond memories. And, you know, I know that, you know, we all have to face these things. I faced it with my parents, losing my parents. And, you know, you think about how you treasure people because they will not always be with us forever on this earth, but they will be with us forever in our hearts and minds. So just really fond memories. So thanks for listening, and I love you, Gloria.
Thank you, Brad. Anybody else real quick? Come on.
Hi, everyone. So I'm Catherine, Nana's youngest granddaughter. Some of you probably have seen pictures of me, like Nana's house and the emails. But I don't really have like an order of anything, just to share a few memories. So like ever since I was little, I always loved going to Nana's house. Even as an adult, even just, you know, a month or two ago, you know, busy weeks, a lot of stuff going on. Always asked Dad, are we going to Nana's this week, next week? Like, I'm going to come. It doesn't matter that, you know, I've been getting up early all week. Like, we'll get up early, go with Uncle Mark. We'd all go make the stops along the way, get her the order of food that she wanted. So, like, I probably brought some of you guys here. But I remember when I was little, she'd always send me packages for school. So I had to wear white shirts and navy pants to my elementary school, which is, I'm an elementary school teacher myself. Little kids should not be wearing white shirts. So Nana would always get me the white shirt, the pants, then she'd send a whole bunch of other pants in there with it. And then hidden in there, there'd be a chocolate and maybe some tape and then like cookies, and then the cookie crumbs would be coming out of the box. Like, it was always fun to get the packages from her. And like my dad said, you never knew how the package got through postal service. There'd always be something hidden, so you'd want to make sure you went through the bag. So then she'd call, did you get the necklace in there? And be like, wait, what necklace? Oh no. Like, so you want to make sure that you've checked everything. I always would send her pictures whenever I was at Pitt. I would send her emails. Then when she got her iPhone, I remember going, setting up the phone with her, trying to help her get the pictures, having her give me the phone to help her clear out her messages so she could see more pictures from the family. I'd always call Nana and Grandpa first when something happened. So if something good got into college or an award I got, I always would have to call Nana, have to tell her, whether it was on the phone or whether it was via the emails. I'd always send the picture of my report card. And then also if there was something that I was worried about, like my first finals in college or getting my first teaching job, Nana was always there saying a prayer, having you guys at the church say a prayer for me. And I always knew that, you know, she was watching, even if I was at Pitt. And Grandpa, too, they were always like, we wish we could come down. We come, if you ever need anything, we'll be getting in the car, even though it was like 300 miles away. So, yeah, and then also as I was a little bit older and I started to spend a couple of days in the summer with them, I would go to the store with Nana. I do remember she would always give people on the line candy, and we would know all the people. Or I always wanted to try baking cookies with her. And she's like, we're going to bake some cookies for the women in like the nursing home. We're going to bake cookies for this neighbor. So we were always making stuff for the people here in Ocean County. And it was always so much fun to go to Nana's house. So she will be very missed. And thank you guys for letting me speak.
Anyone else? Go ahead. Wendy, and then you can come up.
Sure, Clarissa will agree with me on this. Gloria always treated me like a daughter from the first time she met me. We never had mother-in-law problems or mother-in-law issues. She used to say how lucky she was to have Clarissa and I as daughter-in-laws, and we were so lucky to have her. You know, sometimes when you call another person mom, you know, it's not your own mother, you feel sort of guilty, but she was very special in our lives, and I will miss her dearly. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Wendy. Dayton? Oh, okay. You got preempted for a minute.
Yeah. She was like, and when you said, my mom's in Buffalo, New York, so she's farther away. So I have to say, Mom, she was my second mom. She was always there. Actually, I probably talked to her just because of the distance more than my own mom. When I had some medical problems, the person that was there with me at the hospital was Gloria. Gloria and Anthony were there. They were always there for me. And she let me, we never had a mother-in-law issue. She let me share her son, who was her baby son. And there was never anything, there was never any conflict. She only wanted what was best for us and for her sons and her family. And I loved her very much. She was my truly second mom for 37 years.
Gayton.
So I have a confession to make. I was actually the dark money in Gloria's political campaign. I mean, $50 back then, that was like a super PAC contribution. And, you know, she was so fastidious that one day I'm sitting in my office and I opened up this envelope from her and it's got $10 in it. So I actually got a refund on the 50. So I've known Gloria well over 40 years from when I first, you know, met Mark. And, you know, kind of a interesting relationship over that time, but it really evolved over the last several years to, I would just call Gloria randomly. I mean, of course, Saturday morning, Wednesday afternoon, just to touch base, just to talk. And we could talk about everything. We could talk about politics. We could talk about her health. We could talk about her kids, her family, her grandchildren. You know, just a range of topics. But no matter what we talked about, she always said three things. She said, hi, darling. She said, how's your beautiful wife? And she said, I love you. And believe me, she did. And I loved her for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Let me share a few things with you. I told you that I had served with Gloria in the Rutherford Ambulance Corps, and one thing about Gloria that you may not know, or you may know, there was only one position for a gas pedal in a car, and that was down to the floor. We got a call early on in the morning. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. We coming back from the hospital, and our ambulances back then were Cadillacs. Do you remember those days when they were Cadillacs, right? Now, it was tricky to back them into the garage because it was a little bit of a turn, and I'm sleeping on the gurney, right? Because I have to go to school and all, so I'm sleeping, and she's backing in. All of a sudden, I hear a crash. She took out two Cadillacs in one shot. And of course, she was upset, right? I get out. I'm laughing. You know, I'm laughing because it could be repaired. I mean, it was nothing. But she looked at me with those innocent eyes and said, I'm really not a bad driver. I said, I believe you. I believe you. She also had her own vocabulary. Over the years, there used to be a dress shop called Fashion Bug, thank you. She used to call it Ladybug. But you knew it, you know. I went to Ladybug today. Oh, Fashion Bug. We used to have a Charlie Brown's down the road here, which was a steakhouse. And she changed that to Chock Full of Nuts for some reason. I don't know why. Gloria always would talk about her sons, their wives, their children. And she would say to me, the most important thing to her would be that they, she would see them in heaven. She said that to me a lot. I said, so we have to pray. And that was her true wish for everybody. Everybody she knew. She wanted to see them in heaven. And she knew the only way that would happen is if they ever came to a point where they put their faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And what that means is simply this: to admit we're sinners. We're all sinners. And that we need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. This is not a new message. I'm not making this up. It's all here in the scriptures. It's in the verses I read for you. And it's a simple thing. A child could understand it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe, trust in him, shall have eternal life. Never perish. See, apart from him, we condemn ourselves to a place called hell. And again, the Bible says that, it's not me. But because of his great love for us, he went to the cross in my place, in your place, to pay for our sins. I believe that if there were a way that Gloria could have paid for all our sins, she would have done it. That's the type of heart she had. But years ago, I don't even know if you guys know this, years ago, she had an uncle in Brooklyn who used to preach this stuff on street corners. And it was at that point she gave her heart to Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. It meant a lot to her. She was baptized as a profession of her faith. And I had the fortune of being her pastor for 30 years, 35 years. And I'm preparing for the service and I'm saying, okay, if she were still here, what would she want me to say? Very briefly, she would say, this is all true. She knows it firsthand now, she's living it. This is all true. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all true. You see, we say that she died. She didn't die, she transitioned. She transitioned from this life to eternal life with her Savior in heaven. I think the first thing she did was smack my brother when she got there. She didn't need a reason, he was grumpy. But when she opened her eyes in heaven, she saw the one who died for her on the cross. She would call me, she would say, can we pray for so-and-so? They need to know Jesus. Can we pray for so-and-so? I said, of course, Gloria, we can. She had a special place also for those who ministered to her. You may not know this, but, you know, we have Ruth and her husband here. We have Vince and his wife here. And others who ministered to her. During the fires, our own Tommy and Lorraine went to check on her. She eventually had to evacuate. She didn't want to. She didn't want to leave the house. But she had to evacuate. She came up to my sons in Dayville. But the first thing she would always ask, can we pray that so-and-so come to know Jesus? I can't say this enough. We have her remains in an urn, but she's not there. She's with her Savior. I take great comfort with that. You know, it was hard for me 3 years ago to go through the death of my own brother, her husband. What got me through is the same thing that's getting me through right now. That God keeps his promises. Gloria knew that. Gloria was a stickler for that, by the way. You make a promise, you better keep it. You make a promise, you better keep it. God never fails on his promises. This is one of the greatest promises. For God so loved the world that whoever, doesn't matter what you've done, none of that matters. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what church or not church you were raised in. This offer is open to all. But you see, we have to come on God's terms. And God lays it out. Jesus lays it out in the Gospels very clearly. He says, repent. That's turning away from our rebellion, that's sin against God. And by faith, put our trust in that Jesus took my sin on the cross so I can be forgiven now and forever. What an incredible gift. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace. We had nothing to do with it. Sometimes, you know, when you have a person who has had an impact like Gloria, and we'll say, what a good person she was. And she was. She was, you know, if I were to grade her on a scale of 1 to 10 as being compassionate and good, she was a 20. But that's not why she's in heaven. She's in heaven because she loved Jesus. What some of you may not know is this, and I'm not going to reveal any confidentialities, but behind the scenes, she did a lot for a lot of people because she loved Jesus. When I'm talking, I talk about a lot, I'm talking about giving sacrificially of her time, her talents. She was a great cook. Her treasure. She probably didn't even want me to say that to you. But anything else would be to diminish a heart of gold, a heart of love. And that love overflowed because of her relationship with Jesus Christ. So, as her brother-in-law, as her pastor, I'll make this offer to you. If you ever want to talk about these spiritual things, just call me. And I'll answer any questions you have. But I will reiterate what Gloria had always asked me. Do you think so-and-so knows Jesus? They need to know Jesus. I'm glad God keeps his promises, because if my eternal destiny depended on my performance, I'd have no hope. I'm a pastor. That doesn't mean I'm going to heaven. Because I know Jesus, I know I'm going to heaven. God keeps his promises for those as well as left behind. One of the marks of our family dinners, whether it be Thanksgiving, Christmas, or just getting together, was my son, myself, and whoever else from family was there. She would get us laughing so hard, we'd fall off our seats. Those memories are precious. And we need to understand that as time goes on, and the pain of missing her will diminish, and it will, that her life counted, and it counted for the glory of God. That's what she was interested in. Monday, I'm going to end in a few minutes, but Monday mornings was my quiz, and I'll tell you what would happen. Either she or my brother would call me, because they would be here, they would hear the sermon, and they'd come with their list of questions. What about this? Can you explain this more? And I knew I better be sharp. I knew I better be sharp. It was that type of inquisitive attitude, those, that type of asking questions. Mark says something to me a couple of months ago, and I don't even remember if he remembers saying it to me. He was really asking about, he was asking good questions about a particular situation. And he says, don't forget, that's what makes me a good attorney. He got it from his mom, so did Andre. They ask good questions. It's when we stop asking questions that we're in trouble. So if you ever want to talk about these things, you give me a call. We'll talk about these questions. God is good. And all the time. We need to understand that Gloria is in a far better place, even though we miss her. She's probably cooking her spaghetti sauce, I call it gravy, for everybody up there. I mean, she got this from her mom. I knew her mom very well, her mom and dad. In fact, her dad used to babysit my son, and they got along great. But when I was home from college, I would go on a sunny afternoon usually and stop in and visit them. And you know, when you're young, you don't care about time, so I wasn't looking at the watch. And it would always be when Mary was cooking something. And she was, and I say, I don't mean to interrupt, you know, I'll come back again. She said, you're not going anywhere, sit down and eat. You didn't argue with Mary. You sit down and eat. And we had the greatest conversations. Mary and Mike. You know what they talked about? The scriptures. I didn't know Jesus back then. But they laid the framework out for me. We'll miss her. I will miss her. I will miss the phone calls of her saying to me, I'm technologically declined. She got in trouble on her computer. She couldn't work her phone. So we go over and do it. And it wasn't because that she didn't have the capacity to do it. In her mind, she had more important things to do. And that was to love all of you. Let's hold on to her memory. Melissa, would you come up, please? I'm going to sing one more song. It's a short song, but this was one of her favorites. And it talks about God's promise.